Okay, last week we were talking about how Teresa kept emphasizing the necessity of focusing on the humanity of Jesus. And she spends a lot of time emphasizing that quite a bit. And I was thinking about that since then. And you know, it made a lot of sense because look at what God and the Blessed Mother have done. Look at the prayers that they gave us, okay? Mm-hmm. The rosary. They gave us the first, you know, we had the three decades. Yeah. First one was joyful, that was all about him.
Yeah.
Sorrowful, that's all about his passion. Then you get into the, everything else till the glorious.
Yeah.
You look at the Divine Mercy Chaplet, for the sake of his sorrowful passion. You know, that's all about the passion of Christ.
Yeah.
You look at the chaplet of the precious blood.
Mm.
That's all about the different wounds of Christ and everything that he suffered. So all the different prayers that Jesus and Blessed Mother have given us have all focused on that humanity of Christ. So it really made a lot of sense for Teresa to be talking about that, you know?
Mm.
So anyway, just thought I'd throw that out. But anyway, so we're at we're in chapter 3 now, and we're at 6:3, 1 and 2. So Teresa is now getting into another kind of episode that she went through, and another kind of interface with Jesus. And the first part of it talked about the dark night she was going through.
Mm-hmm.
But now she's getting into locutions. And she was apparently not very familiar with them when it first started. And she talks about two different kinds of locutions. One that you think you hear with your ears, and the other one is an interior voice that you can sense.
Mm.
And so she talks about both of them. So she opens chapter 3, speaking about the other ways that God awakens the soul, and here she speaks about locutions. She says, locutions are experiences where one hears the voice of the one speaking, but does not see the vision. You don't see somebody speaking. She says this voice may seem to come from outside oneself, or may seem to come from deep within the soul. Some come from the superior part of the soul, and some are so exterior that they come through the physical sense of hearing. You seem to hear a voice with your ears, but you do not see a person speaking. For some with a weak imagination, and she always worries about people with a weak imagination because she's afraid of what the imagination's tricks is playing on you, you know. For some with a weak imagination or who suffer melancholy, a term she uses to mean mental illness, well, locution can be a mere illusion. Teresa recommends we do not pay attention to those that are an illusion and those that seem to be heard with a sense of hearing. She's afraid that those are the ones where, you know, well, people said that, well, why'd you kill somebody? Because they told me to.
Yeah.
You know, I hear voices and stuff. She says that if someone says they have these two kinds of locutions, we should not tell them their experiences are from the devil, but rather just listen to them as to a sick person.
Can drugs do that? I always was under the impression these killers, they hear this, they were driven to kill.
You can hear illusions. Yeah, you can hear illusions, yeah. So why does Teresa tell us to deal with someone who believes they experience these kinds of locutions in this way? What's she afraid of? She's afraid of what the voices are going to tell her. Tell them, you know. I think that's what she's
afraid of. Would it make the people crazy? I mean, like, if you think you're having a locution, and someone says no, couldn't you get very agitated and it would affect you mentally, it would make you worse. Say yes, I agree.
Or somebody will think they're hearing the word of God, and then said, well, God told me to do something. I got to obey God and go off and do it.
Yeah.
And it might be something not really good for him at all.
Yeah.
Years ago, I was on a discussion list online called Catholic Spirituality. I mean, Spirit-El. And posted at American University. And there was a guy on there who started saying, well, he was receiving visitations from the Holy Trinity. And so I started asking him questions about it. Okay, well, tell me a little bit about this thing, you know? And he said, yeah, the Holy Trinity would comes to my house, and we'd kick back and have a few beers and put our feet up on the table, you know? And so I really had to shut him down, you know? And I told him, don't pay attention to what this guy says, because he's full of illusions. And whether he was experiencing something like this or not, I don't know. But that's the kind of thing she's afraid of, that somebody might think they're hearing something, think it's from God, and then take action on it, where it's really not. It's some physical malady they have or something else, you know.
But couldn't you put that together with your common sense and what you know?
When that's happening to you, you probably don't have common sense, you know. You got to rely on somebody else's common sense to tell you that you're going off the rails here. But there are some, you know, and she'll make we'll cover it in a little while. But she makes the point that there are times when you actually do hear these things, and they are from God. And two examples of St. Paul on his conversion, when Jesus said, "Why are you persecuting me?" And then St. Joan of Arc, when God told her what she had to do to save France. You know, sometimes you hear these things and they really are from God.
And Mother Teresa.
And Mother Teresa.
The conversion to form the order.
Yeah. So,
I had a friend in Long Island, very holy woman, you know, really, you know, not a phony. And she didn't flaunt it. And she showed us once. And the priest read it and they didn't think she was wacko. But she would get locutions from Michael the Archangel, and she would just write them down. I mean, not crazy, you know. We read them.
Yeah.
But
yeah, one of the girls in Medjugorje, not one of the visionaries, a girl named Helena, she used to get locutions, and so she'd write them down, give them to the priest, and he'd, you know, check them out and everything. But one of those was a prayer for healing for people that are ill. So it was directed toward others. It wasn't something that she was told to do for herself, you know. And so she would write those down and stuff. And so it can be genuine, but what Teresa's worried about here is if it's not really genuine and you receive it, and somebody tells you they received this, how you should respond to them. She said, respond to them as if there's a sick person until you know better. You know?
You're not going to convince them anyway, right? I mean, they think it's real.
If they think it's real, then, you know. But I heard it, you know. They can tell you. So 633, Teresa is concerned that these two kinds of locutions you spoke of can be the tools of the devil to deceive the person. That is not a certainty, but she recommends they be treated as such because of the potential danger presented. She says the devil may use these kinds of locutions not necessarily to harm the person receiving them, but to harm others who might believe them. She says to fear these things until the spirit of the person is well understood. And so if you understand the spirit of the person and you realize that they're genuine, then you can start giving credence to what they say. She then addresses the point of what if these locutions are from God and not the devil. She says that in the beginning, it's better to free these persons from these experiences, for if they are from God, doing so is a greater help toward progress, and a person even grows when tested. Because you're giving them a test, and they're going to, like Padre Pio was tested, you know? When his bishop said, you don't know enough about moral theology to hear confessions. One of the greatest confessors in the world have ever had, you know? So and that was for 3 years. He couldn't hear confessions. But he obeyed his bishop, you know? He did the right thing. So we must note that locutions of the kind where we hear the voice as if with the ears can come from God. We have the conversion story of St. Paul on the road to Damascus and the experience of St. Joan of Arc receiving locutions from God telling her what she must do among other people. And there are other saints that have, you know, heard the voice of God telling them to do things. In the movie Quo Vadis, You ever seen a movie?
Mm-hmm.
You remember at the end when they're walking down a road and the little boy hears the voice and tells Peter, and then Peter says, okay, and he turns around and goes back. There's more to them. So we take particular note that Teresa says of someone experiencing these locutions in the beginning and until the spirit of the person is well understood. So she's not saying just assume always that it's not from God, but just really look at the person, understand the person to see if you think maybe that really is a true thing. Teresa says we should not proceed in a way that is distressing or disturbing to the soul. So if you were to receive some form of locution, what would you do to determine if it is an illusion and not from God, assuming you are not suffering from mental illness? You hear something, what would be your first reaction?
Does it make sense? Is it common sense? I always go, is it in line with the church's teaching? Does it make sense, or is it some crazy thought?
Yeah. I think the first thing I would do is go to the confessor, go to the priest.
Yeah.
Make sure that the priest is a good priest and, you know, and understands this kind of stuff, and start, and talk to him about, you know, what was said, how it was said, what kind of tone of voice it was that was said, and everything else, and does what it says make sense for you?
Mm.
You know, does it defy common sense, like you were saying? Mm. Or is it asking you to do something that's impossible for you to do? Or, you know, all those kind of things.
Mm.
And let the priest make some kind of judgment as to whether or not you should pay attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the first thing I would do.
Did Joan of Arc, I don't remember in the book, did she go and speak to a priest when she heard the visions, you know?
I don't remember.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I
have to go back.
Well, she saw the angels, right? Who was the saints came to her and gave her
I think she must have.
She was so holy,
Joan of Arc.
Yeah, you think she would have, but I don't know.
Yeah,
I'd have to go back and read.
Yeah. I have the book if you'd like to check it out.
Yeah.
That's all right.
The one Mark Twain wrote?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Jim, I have a question.
Yes.
Many times, you know, like when, especially when you get a new priest into your parish, and they'll give you like a little history about themselves and how they, you know, became a priest, when they say I had a calling, would that be considered a locution?
Not necessarily.
It can be.
But it's not necessarily, because the calling can just be something you sense internally that Jesus wants you to be a priest. Maybe you've felt this all your life. You know, there's cases where a little boy is 3 years old, you know, feel that they want to be a priest, and they want to be a priest their whole life. When Mike was a little kid, he used to play priest, and he'd take his two sisters and make them sit down, and he'd make them be the congregation, and he'd make out he's singing mass and give a homily and everything else, you know.
Father Grishel, too, said he knew from six.
Yeah. And so sometimes you know from early on.
Yeah.
My sister, from the time she was could talk, knew she wanted to be a nurse. Every Christmas, all she ever wanted was a nurse kit, you know, for a Christmas present. So sometimes you get this sense interiorly that you know what your vocation is going to be, and you go. But other people find out about it in a different way. Like, say, that Ignatius Loyola, you know, he was a soldier. He had absolutely no interest in being a religious of any kind, and he wanted to be a warrior, you know. So when he gets hurt in the battlefield, he's in the hospital. The only thing to read was the Lives of the Saints. He has no interest in reading that. He threw the book down, you know, I don't want to. Finally, out of boredom, he picks the book up, starts reading the Lives of the Saints, and what he read there led him to becoming the head of the Jesuit order, you know, becoming a priest and founding the order, the society rather, not the order. But, you know, you just never know where vocations are going to come from. Mm. And they can come from you all kind of different ways, you know.
And I think some do get a voice or a locution when you read some of those.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. You know, it's very possible. You know, who was there? St. Faustina.
Oh.
If you remember her life, when she was, you know, she was going to dances and stuff like this.
That's it.
And God would talk to her and say, you know, why are you putting me off? You know, I want you to do something. And so if you read the first part of her diaries, she talks about how he actually came to her and talked to her and said, I want you to do this, you know. And then she went ahead and obeyed him. But he would talk to her all the time, you know, sometimes just elocution, sometimes as a vision. And so.
Jim, if after you experience one of these locutions, if you feel peace,
That'd be
more,
one of the signs,
Say it was a sign instead of anxiety or whatever.
Right. Because when the devil does something, you almost always feel upset, anxiety, and all this kind of stuff. But God never makes you feel that way. Because he's the Prince of Peace, right? He always gives you peace when he does anything with you. And so that would, again, be one of the signs to look for. Do I feel really upset about this, or do I feel calm? Do I feel at peace with what happened? And then if you go talk to the priest about it, you would explain that to him. You know, after it happened, this is how I felt. You know,
I
those kind of things.
I fought that for 6 months. I was in the convent wanting all that. The lifestyle, everything I wanted.
Yeah.
I was miserable. But I said to God, I'm fighting it. I'm not leaving. It took me six.
Because they used to tell you, you know, that you, that meant that you had a vocation, that you were fighting it. Remember when we had only nuns and they wanted everybody to be a nun?
But not the Dominicans, because when I went, the priest didn't want to write the letter for me. He said, no, lovely German priest. He said, no, no, no. He said, you do more in the world. I said, write the letter.
It was good.
And then when I went to tell the nun, she said, what took you so long? They don't try and keep you if they know you don't have a vocation.
She could tell,
But I laugh. I go.
Well, some of those priors are pretty smart about discerning those things.
They know, right? They know. They, you say something. And I look back and say, I think I said the wrong thing.
So now Teresa talks about the signs we should look for to determine when they come from different sources and when they are dangerous, because she says there are many souls among the prayerful who hear them. And so she says a lot of people do hear some kind of locution. Teresa's particularly concerned about locutions. I think she just doesn't trust them. You know, there probably have not been a lot of people in her time that have talked about having locutions. And of course, there was not a lot of communication capability back then either, you know. And so, you know, they didn't have newspapers and, you know, internet and all that kind of stuff. So Teresa's particularly concerned about locutions, and maybe because of some deception she experienced that shook her, or because of what she saw in others. She tells her sisters, if you are doing the right thing, since you are doing the right thing, if you refuse to give credence to them, even when they are destined just for you, such as some consolation or advice about your faults, no matter who tells you about them or if they are an illusion, for it doesn't matter where they come from. So she's saying, be really, really cautious when you have these kind of things. And of course, she didn't have access either to all the kind of things we have access to today, you know. So it's, you know, she was working against a lot of hardships, you know.
Bless you.
God bless you. Was it a cough?
She then cautions against pride if one of the sisters experienced them. She says, one thing I advise you, do not think, even if the locutions are from God, that you are better because of them. For he spoke frequently with the Pharisees. I thought that was an interesting comment. You know, he talked to the Pharisees too and told them what terrible people they are. All the good comes from how one benefits by these words. And pay no more attention to those that are not in close conformity with Scripture than you would from the devil himself. That's the point you were making, Eleanor. That, you know, do they conform with church teaching? She then says to treat them as if they were temptations in matters of faith. Teresa seems to be assuming that her sisters have very good familiarity with Scripture. How should someone with such, without such familiarity respond if they receive a locution? I mean, we have a lot of people in our Catholic community that don't spend a lot of time reading the Bible, you know? And so if they're not that familiar and they get a locution and they come up to you and say, wow, I had this, you know, blah, 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 how would you respond to them?
They should go see the priest, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, and check it out in the Bible, yeah, if they have a Bible.
Yeah. And you could ask them, you know, what exactly were they saying, and does that conform with church teaching?
Yeah.
And if you understand what that is, you know, you would do that. So, yeah, so, but my advice would always be to tell them to go see the priest.
Yeah.
You know. Because for two reasons. First of all, for clarity and confirmation about what they heard. But also, I think a priest ought to know if people in his congregation are having these experiences.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's just good that he knows that.
Yeah.
So in 5 through 7, page 14, Teresa now begins to address the different specific kinds of locutions. You must remember that in her time, she did not have access to psychiatry and other such means to help determine the state of mind of the people. So she's trying to judge this without the benefit of psychiatry and psychology and everything else. She says that where they come from doesn't matter in determining if they come from God. She says the surest sign that they are from God that can be had, in my opinion, are these, the surest signs. First and truest is the power and authority they bear, for locutions from God affect what they say. And I think that's a really important thing too, because God never says something that doesn't happen. Everything he says has an effect. You know, he says, let it be, and the universe was created. You know, he doesn't say things that don't happen. She then clarifies the matter further, so that the soul finds itself in the midst of all the tribulation and disturbance that was mentioned in chapter 1, the dark night, in darkness of the intellect and in dryness, with one word alone of these locutions from the Lord, like, for example, don't be distressed, you know, or it is I, fear not, or something like that. It is left calm and free of all distress, with great light, and without all the suffering, in which it seemed to it that all the learned men and all who might come together to give it reasons for not being distressed would be unable to remove its affliction, no matter how hard they tried. So one statement from God to take all that anxiety away from you, whereas all these other people could not do that, no matter how smart they were. They can't take the anxiety away from you. God does that. He gives you his peace. Or it is because the confessor says it is from the devil, and so it is fearful. But with one word alone, it is I, be not afraid, the Lord can completely dispel all fear and return peace to the soul. He is left certain and free of anxiety. So those kind of things are things you would look for right away. You know, what is the effect of the words? And so that's another big thing to keep in mind too, that it's not just the words, but it's the effect of the words, if they come from God, that you want to kind of have a sense of, you know, what is it doing in your soul? The second sign is the great quiet left in the soul, the devout and peaceful recollection, the readiness to engage in the praises of God. So that's a really important thing there too. Makes you feel close to God, wants you to praise God in thanksgiving for this gift.
Are they still studying Father Golby's locutions, or are they pretty well accepted?
I have not seen anything about Father Golby in a long, long time.
Yeah.
You know, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I have not seen anything. I think there was some question about some of his predictions.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was basically saying something was going to happen in 1989 or something.
Or 98, and then 98. Hundreds, thousands of people left after that when
yeah.
it didn't.
And then it didn't happen, you know.
Right.
So there's some question about the accuracy of it and stuff.
But the church never forbid anyone to.
No.
No. So.
But they never said it's.
They never said
it's.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
They never put the imprimatur on it.
Okay.
The third sign is that these words remain in the memory for a very long time, and some are never forgotten, as are those we hear from men, because we forget here. the certitude is so strong that even in things that in one's own opinion sometimes seem impossible and in which there is doubt as to whether they will or will not happen, and the intellect wavers, there is an assurance in the soul itself that cannot be overcome, and that in the end the words will be accomplished, and so they are.
That would be the surest sign, I think.
God thinks surest sign, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Speaking of how the devil tries to afflict the soul and create doubts, Teresa says that the devil tries to afflict and intimidate the soul and tries to weaken the faith. He's always trying to do those two things. At least he weakens faith, for it does great harm not to believe that God has the power to do things that our intellects do not understand. So if it's from God, he can do everything. And you have to never forget that. Like, go back to Abraham. He says, you're going to have a child. Mm. I'm 100 years old. Sarah's 98 years old. How are we going to have a kid, you know? We can't do anything anymore. How are we going to have a kid? And he says, a year from now, you're going to have a child, you know? And even Sarah just left, just laughed, you know. Said, how am I going to have a kid, you know? I'm all dried out. I'm an old lady.
But then he got impatient, and he, who was his slave girl?
Well, his wife got impatient.
Oh, was the wife?
The wife told him.
And she encouraged her to be with him.
Right.
And now we have the problem.
Yeah, we've got the whole Arab nation.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
I always wonder why God said to her, I'll take care of you too, when she got sent in the desert, because now we've got all this trouble.
Because he was Abraham's child.
Is that why?
Oh. Yeah.
Because he was Abraham's child.
Okay.
He said, I'll make you a great nation.
Yeah.
But my covenant is with Isaac. Mm-hmm. And that was the big difference. Yeah. That was the big difference. So have you ever had any of these kind of locutions, either coming from within the soul or outside? If so, how did it make you feel? Did you have anxiety or certitude? I've never had one.
I never had one.
The only thing, I mean, not a locution, I know it, but maybe, I don't know, some emotional thing, maybe when Carol first got MS, I don't know. And the words came. I didn't hear them. It was in my mind, I'm sure, but they came. I knew I didn't think of the words before they came. And all it was, all will be well.
No.
And that has stayed with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that thought.
Yeah.
Anytime there's something big, all will be well.
It's because you ask the whole world to pray for you, and you always get your prayers answered.
I'm very convinced that the more prayers you get, the more people. Susan's worse than me. She goes on the internet, and she has like these thousands of followers from her company and all this stuff. She's all over the world. And when Carol first got MS, she's, don't worry, she's like, I got thousands.
That's true. I mean, you are the best example of that.
It's, we got to laugh. Because she knows a lot of priests. She works at the seminary now and all this stuff, and she just presses the button and goes.
That's pretty good. So 6, 3, 10, and 11, if the locutions come from the imagination, there are none of these signs that we just talked about, neither certitude nor peace nor interior delight. But anyone who has had much experience of God's locutions will not be deceived by these that come, in my opinion, from the imagination. So once you've received it from God and you have these signs like the peace and everything else, when you get something else, and you don't have that, you know, hey, I don't want to pay attention
question
to this.
Yeah.
You want to question it right away.
I'm trying to think. Like, if somebody imagines, how can you imagine you hear a voice? You know, that's...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, a lot of, like, well, she says that happens to people that have mental illness.
Oh, okay, yeah. Then.
Like
okay.
Schizophrenia, they're always hearing
voices. Yeah. Because you hear these people that say, well, I did something bad because the voices told me to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, wasn't Charles Manson one of them that said he had these voices?
Yeah.
Just going on killing people?
I think when Marissa was on in the beginning, when she first had all this like psychotic stuff, she had medication. I think she heard stuff. And when she's got off that medicine, and it was fine.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So with those locutions coming from the devil, there is more to fear. But if the signs mentioned are present, there can be a great deal of certainty that the locutions are actually from God. Even if the soul is certain it is from God, If it is a serious matter about oneself or a business matter, one should consult a learned and prudent confessor and servant of God. And these words of his help to give courage if the task is a difficult one. And our Lord, when he so desires, will make the confessor believe that the locution comes from his spirit. To do otherwise and follow nothing but your own opinion in this, I hold to be very dangerous. Okay, a good example of that, of course, was Joan of Arc. Mm. When God says, I want you to lead the army of France against England, she's this little milkmaid, you know.
Yeah, country girl.
And so, you know, she says, how am I going to do that? What do I know about fighting a war, you know?
When you think of it, that's the craziest one in history.
Yeah.
How God could ask this young girl to save France.
Yeah.
Right. Lead an army of men.
Yeah. And how the men got behind her.
Yeah.
And believed her.
I mean, the whole thing is just not real.
But it is. Yeah. It's just incredible, you know.
It's so incredible. It has to be from God.
Yeah. And so that's why she says, if it's a serious matter about oneself or business matter, consult a learned and prudent confessor and servant of God and talk it over with them. Make sure that
we're going to go talk to Jim if we have him.
There you go. Hope I have some first so I understand what you're talking about.
That'd probably help.
So once again, Teresa cautions against accepting things of the imagination as true. So how would you discern whether locution came from the imagination or otherwise? Take all the signs you look for, right?
That's what we've just been talking about.
Yes, all the signs we've just been talking about.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
But also talk to a good confessor that understands these things. So then in 12 through 16, Teresa then speaks about intellectual visions. And this is another kind of experience. It's not locutions, intellectual visions. And she's going to talk about two different kinds, intellectual visions and imaginative visions. So we'll look at both of those. So she begins speaking about intellectual visions, the nature of which she will explain further on in chapters 8 and 10. She says we can tell it is definitely from God. It takes place in such intimate depths, and a person with the ears of the soul seems to hear those words from the Lord himself so clearly and so in secret that this very way in which they are heard, together with the acts that the vision itself produces, assures that person and gives him certitude that the devil can have no part to play in the locution. So this kind of locution she calls an intellectual vision. You don't see anything with your eyes or the eyes of the soul or anything else. Mm. Wonderful effects are left so that the soul may believe. At least there is the assurance that the locution doesn't come from the imagination. Yet the soul can always have assurance for the following reason. First, there is a difference because of the clarity of the locution. It is so clear that the soul remembers every syllable and whether it is said in one style or the other, even if it is a whole sentence. But in a locution fancied by the imagination, the words will not be so clear or distinct, but like something half dreamed. And I would say probably not something that you would remember always. But if it comes from God, she says, you don't forget it.
I remember hearing a girl that went to Medjugorje, didn't have a good background in her, or any background. Mm. And after the miracle and being there, all of Catholicism was present to her, and she could teach it to other kids.
Yeah.
And I've heard of other saints or people who it's just God made it present to them
Bernard was like that.
Who?
Bernard.
Oh, yeah.
The guy in Nigeria that gave us the precious blood devotion.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah, that's where I read
because
that.
Because he was like a little simple kid, you know, little teenager.
Yeah.
And then now he's teaching people all that stuff.
So maybe that's what that is. That's intellectual.
Yeah,
it could be. Yeah, it could be an intellectual vision.
Yeah.
Because he got it somehow.
How else do you get it?
Yeah. That's right, yeah.
Exactly.
So second, in these locutions, one often is not thinking about what is heard. It comes unexpectedly, and even sometimes when one is in conversation. She had one of those talking to some very prominent people. I think I mentioned
that. Therese.
Yeah. She was in the midst of this conversation with some nobleman or something. She felt it coming on. She said, oh, no, not now.
Yes, a sense
she was
of
a
joke.
I want to meet her if I get to go to heaven. Because I've always loved her. I really want to meet her. She's one of my
probably has
people.
A great sense of humor.
I know. I want to meet her and I want to meet St. Peter. Because he is so...
I'm going to go right to the top.
I mean, he's so human, you know?
Yeah.
When you look at all the things that you read about in Scripture, you know, about him, he's just right there, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, he's right there, no pretense or anything else. He's just right there, just lays it out for you.
Yeah, he didn't think ever before he said it.
He just blurts it out, you know?
Right.
I got to meet him. He sounds like a real character.
Yeah.
So anyway, back to Teresa. The second in these locutions, one often is not thinking about what is heard, although many times it is a response to what passes quickly through the mind or to what did so previously. But it often refers to things about the future that never entered the mind, and so the imagination couldn't have fabricated it in such a way that the soul could be deceived in fancying what was not desired or wanted or thought of.
You know this Carlos Acutis? Have you seen anything on EWTN? They interviewed his mother the other day, and she said she had no devotion to Catholicism. She was just baptized, and that he had this right from age 3. So that must have been similar, that he had this devotion to the Eucharist and was able to convert all these people and kids.
Yeah.
Sort of like I'm just saying this, I'm thinking of St. Therese. I mean, she knew 3-4 years old, giving her life, you know, and it's not the normal
entrenched.
Yeah. Well, Padre Pio, too.
Yeah, he was from little.
When he was a little kid, 2 and 3 years old, Jesus would come to him as a child, as his playmate.
So he thought everybody had.
He thought everybody had. It shocked him when he found out that everybody has Jesus as a playmate.
Was it John Bosco, too? I think. I don't know. He started the order of priests, took care of the orphan boys, I think.
He
used to see Jesus become alive on the crucifix when he was walking in the field. That's special.
Yeah. So third, the one locution comes as in the case of a person who hears, and that of the imagination comes as in the case of a person who gradually composes what he himself wants to be told. So that's the big red flag there. You're actually composing what you want to hear. It's okay. Where's it really come from?
Me.
Yeah. Fourth, the words are very different, and with one of them, much is comprehended. So if they're coming from God, he's actually teaching you while he's talking to you. He's imparting knowledge into your mind. Our intellect could not compose them so quickly. And that confirms what she said before about how in just a fraction of a second, God can infuse in your mind what it would take years to study, you know, in other ways. And fifth, together with the words, in a way I wouldn't know how to explain, there is often giving much more to understand than is ever dreamed possible without the words.
Don't you hope God is doing that for the hostages?
We hope so, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He must be doing something miraculous, because how could you withstand that suffering?
Right.
Yeah.
It's got to be grace, yeah.
It's got to be something.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, when you look at that, what's going on with Israel now, that's not just a fight of Israel against Hamas.
Mm-hmm.
That is God's people fighting the devil.
Yeah. Right.
Because when you look at the abject evil, the pure evil that is being done by Hamas with those people.
You have to think of the Bible when you hear all this.
Yeah.
And then when you see the readings in the morning, how many of them sometimes.
Oh, yeah. I know.
You know
what? Yeah.
I open my Mary, My Hope, and there was a thing in there about how her birthplace was moved from Palestine by the angels.
To France, it made me wonder.
Yeah.
The House of Loretto.
Does that have something to do with what's going on? To take her house out of Palestine and put it in Italy.
Yeah, makes you wonder.
Yeah. Then also Mary Magdalene, you know, when Jerusalem was being overthrown, she took the bones of St. Anne. She had great devotion to St. Anne, mm-hmm. Elizabeth's mother. Mm-hmm. So she went to the grave, took the bones out, and brought them to France.
I never knew that.
And that's why at the Cathedral of St. St. Marie de Beaupré. That's why the bones of St. Anne, or St. Anne de Beaupré, that's why the bones are there, because Mary Magdalene is the one that brought the bones over there to France.
Wasn't the relic of the True Cross? Wasn't that St. Helena found the
cross? St. Helena, yeah.
Yeah, that was back
Yeah. Yeah. And then they took a piece of one of those bones and sent it to Canada. So there's a church of St. Anne de Beaupré in China, not China, in Canada, and they have one of those relics there, too.
Wow. Well, they need to be praying to it, Canada.
But look, Jesus was a Jew. He lived in Palestine. All of the the apostles lived in that whole area.
Yes, and Blessed Mother, too.
So this is part of something.
Yeah.
Well, there was a Jewish rabbi professor, worldwide known, and he was saying, the Holy Land, it's God's land, and it was given to the Jewish people.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can't just, you have no right to, you know, take it, give it to another country. It's God's.
But God's going to have to sort it out.
Yeah.
But God's going to have to do it. You're right about that. Yeah. It's not going to be us.
No. It's like, trying to think of what homily I heard this weekend about it's not politics, it's God. Oh, I know, we have Father Starzynski, Stefan from the chaplain from Fairfax Hospital is now at Holy Trinity.
Oh, really?
So he's good. He's good to listen.
Is he a healing priest?
Yes.
That's what I heard.
8 years he was there.
And he said, with regard to being able to tell if the words come from the devil, Teresa says that the words come from the devil can be more quickly understood, even though his wiles are many, for he knows well how to counterfeit the spirit of light. In my opinion, the devil will say the words very clearly so that there will be certitude about their meaning, as is so with those coming from the spirit of truth. But he will not be able to counterfeit the effects that were mentioned, or leave this peace or light in the soul. On the contrary, he leaves restlessness and disturbance. But he can do little harm or none if the soul is humble and does what I have mentioned. That is, doesn't make a move to do a thing of what he hears. So again, it's the effect of the words, not just the words. That's the important thing. God's words always have an effect. He never speaks without some kind of an effect. How would you describe what St. Joseph heard when he was told not to be afraid to marry Mary?
In the dream.
Yeah. Mm. So do you think that was a locution or?
It was a dream. I don't know. But you do hear about dreams too.
Yeah.
People.
Yeah. But I think you can hear. I think you'd have a locution in a dream.
Yeah, it must be. That must have been what that was. That would wait.
But Jim, if the angel spoke to Saint Joseph, I mean, would that have been a locution? I mean, it was a messenger.
But it was in a dream.
But it was in a dream, so he actually spoke to him.
Yeah, in a dream.
And so a locution can come from God Himself, or come from one of God's angels.
Okay.
Because God sends the angel to do something. Mm. You know? It's just like God Himself didn't necessarily come to Mary and say, you're going to be the mother of Jesus. He sent the angel. but it had the same effect. The effect was the same. As soon as she said, "Be it done to me according to the will of God," she was pregnant. Yeah. Mm. Before she got off of her knees, she was pregnant.
Mm. Yeah.
Nice. That's an amazing way to get pregnant. What St. Joan of Arc heard when she was told what she must do to save France. And she heard it in a different way from the way St. Joseph heard. She actually heard God speaking to her. Yeah. And so she had to go to the priest and stuff and say, "This is what's happening." And then the rest is history, you know. And then, of course, St. Paul heard on the road to Damascus. It's the effect all the time, you know.
For not being a Catholic, he did such a good job, didn't you think? Mark Twain?
Yeah.
And that was his favorite book.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But didn't he commit suicide?
I don't know. Oh. I'm not aware how he died.
Mm. Okay.
I just don't know. 6:03:17.
It's 10:30. Maybe
we have time.
Huh?
10:30. Yeah, let's quit for the day. We'll come back. We'll finish up at 6:03:17. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Okay.
And then we'll go to the next section. Anybody have any follow-up?
Well, we can finish this.
No, it's okay. It'll take us longer to do that.
Yeah.
So, anybody have any final thoughts before we adjourn for the day, as they say?
My first impression was reading all this book. That doesn't apply to me. I don't say, "God, give me a look." I read it, but...
Mm-hmm. Well, it is pretty special, all the things she's talking about,
right,
you know?
It's
so some people are going to have them, and some people aren't.
Yeah.
But she also says, over and over again, that you don't have to experience any of this stuff for your soul to progress and end up in the seventh dwelling place. Mm-hmm. You can get there without any of these amazing experiences.
And St. Therese did not have any extraordinary occurrences like St. Teresa.
That's right. So, you know, they're possible but not necessary.
It's like in a classroom. How many kids really internalize what they learn? And especially religions. Some people you meet remember everything from first grade, and others don't remember school.
Well, you know, looking back, I mean, I'm very grateful I had the nuns, grammar school and high school. But we learned, going back, to be honest, we learned it memory. Mostly
memory was a big deal.
And didn't, as you say, internalize it.
Yeah.
No, well, like, I'm not criticizing the nuns, but there was no feeling of spirituality.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, in high school, God bless her, Mother Sabina, little tiny thing, 60 pounds, in the black Mother Gabrini habit. And we would have to memorize the whole chapter. And she'd say, you start the chapter. She's a dynamo. And we're sitting there like this, you know. And the girl would memorize the paragraph. And she'd say the next one, "You, the next paragraph." You never knew what paragraph you were going to get.
How awful.
It was terror. How could you internalize?
Well, that isn't teaching.
Right. That's not teaching.
I'm sorry.
It was frightening. We were shaking.
I spent a lot of time teaching. That's not teaching.
It's scary.
We had those little remembers. Remember two a day. That were from that Baltimore Catechism.
Yeah.
Didn't you have that?
I still have the Baltimore Catechism.
Yeah. And those were so good.
So do I,
why did God make you? You still remember.
That's right,
And it was good for our parents if they didn't have it, because they had to go over them with you.
That's right.
That was a good book.
Yeah.
That was wonderful.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's true. So we shall see you next week. Keep Mary Beth in your prayers. She has her third infusion on Wednesday.
Yeah. Is her nausea better right now?
It's better right now, but she really had a tough time this second one because it's cumulative.
Yeah.
And in the first day, first time she was really had a rough time on Friday, but then she started getting better. This time, she didn't start getting better till Monday or Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And even then, she lost 13 pounds in 1 week after the second infusion.
So she's dreading going in this week.
Yeah, she's not looking forward to it.
Yeah.
But but she's a real trooper. She hangs
God
in there.
God will give her the strength. She'll, you know, with all the prayers, she'll get the strength.
Yeah. So keep her in your prayers.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay.
Hope you get better, too.